And we are back with Computer Talk with Tab. This is Dennis.
And I'm Eric.
And we are back after the news.
Here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to help you until 11, and then Morgan will be spotlighting something. I'm sure it'll be cool, and stay tuned for that. So, Dennis, do you have anybody in the line and wants to chat with
us? We do. We have three lines wide open, but right now we have Frank from Middletown, really right. Middletown this time.
Nice.
What can we do for you, Frank?
Yeah, several weeks back on Yahoo, my email, sbcglobal.net, I was getting access denied. And I would have to go through several minutes and change the password, and finally I would have accessibility. And then all of a sudden, I didn't have a problem. I have an icon, I tap onto it, and it goes right into my email. Yesterday, I tried doing it, and I was getting access denied a couple times. I tried it again, and it went through.
Huh. It's an old email box. We've talked about SBC Global for a long time. I think SBC Global was around in the 90s.
Yes.
Pretty old.
One of the problems with that is that there is no real tech support beyond the self-help options that you've been taking advantage of, where you can reset your own password and do things like that.
Also, make sure your settings are correct, your IMAP and POP3 settings. They do change these things, and you might be dealing with a change that occurred. So double-check your IMAP and POP configurations in your mail browser.
When I do that, what am I looking for? What it should it say?
What it's showing me right now is an IMAP of 993 incoming and 465 and 587 outgoing. And for POP3, which you should avoid, you should be use IMAP if you can. But if you have no choice, 995 on the incoming and 465 and 587 also on the outgoing. So it's the same thing.
Right,
try to use IMAP.
All right, bear with me. I'm driving.
We'll put a link. Don't
details.
Be doing it while you're driving.
Yeah, don't try to be negotiating this while you're driving.
Yeah. We'll put a link over there. It could also be a secure email key issue. Mike found that as well, as far as something that you should look at too. So we can put that information out there for you too. It's just you're dealing with an old mailbox. The being at SBC Global could go away anytime, so keep that in mind. Oh, are you okay out there? Doesn't sound good.
You there?
All right. So, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So basically, I go to your website and access what again?
ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And basically, you'll find a link noting SBC Global, and it'll be there for you. Some of the thoughts we have will be there for you. Dennis says he's going to post those a little later after the show because he can't do it live while he's running the show.
And Mike G is going to post the links on our Facebook page, which you might be able to get to right now. But if you need to later on our website, you'll be able to get it.
Yeah, I'll have to go to your website. I don't have Facebook.
Okay.
So your suggestion, it sounds like I should get a whole new email account.
Ultimately, yes.
Yeah, you should decide at some point to pay for your email service from a dedicated provider so that you know it's yours. And SBC Global could change at any moment. So if you're ever worried about losing your mailbox, you should assume that it could go away tomorrow. We've had numerous callers that have had that happen.
Oh, I know personally people who've had their SBC Global email addresses completely evaporate. They're gone. They will never be accessed again.
So you could look at a paid service. One of the ones we recommend the most is Proton. It's a fully encrypted mail service out of Switzerland. And it's a great service, very secure, and you could actually pay for a GoDaddy domain, so you can go ahead and get a domain of your last name, let's say, and then you could configure your email box to be, you know, whatever you are, at yourlastname.com, which is much better than SBC Global. I'd rather be at my last name than SBC Global, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yes. All right. Well, you gave me what I needed to know. So basically, how does one efficiently? You have to notify everyone that has your email, or does it automatically?
Well, you'll have to do two things. Number one, from the old address, send out an email to your frequent correspondents saying that you're getting a new address, okay, and include that address in the email. Then from the new address, you're going to follow up with all of those same recipients with a new email saying, hey, this is me coming from my new address. Don't use the old one anymore. Respond to this one and use it from now on. That way they have two consistent messages from both addresses that will associate them with each other, and they should, after that, have no reason to not use the new address once you've, you know, made clear what your intentions are. Now, in reality, a lot of people are going to keep using the old one, especially because of things like Outlook autocomplete. But you're just going to have to be persistent about it. And every time you get an email from one of those people to the old address, you're going to have to forward it to the new one, then reply to it from the new address. It's going to be a lot of work for a little while to clean it all up, but it's time well spent, and it'll be an investment in your future. And once you've gotten a new email address that you control, and that, more importantly, you have active tech support for, then your life is just going to be a lot better going forward. That's all.
Yeah. And you can also set up.
And the name of that company was Pro what?
Proton.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Comcast has switched over to Yahoo. Should I check? I have two emails, one with Comcast also. Should Comcast have switched over to Yahoo? Well, should I keep that the same or not?
For now, maybe. The way I would view that is they're getting one foot out the door. But the bottom line is, because Comcast has a contract now with Yahoo to handle the mail, you at least should have some avenue to get tech support for it, whether it's calling Comcast or calling Yahoo, because somebody's getting paid for that, and they should give you support for it. But remember that the other shoe can drop at any time, and either company or both can say, yeah, well, we had these accounts for a while, but we're getting rid of them now.
They're free anyways.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is having that second account from Comcast is also a nice backup. You can always fill out surveys or whatever you want where you don't care about the junk mail on that mailbox, and keep your more real mailbox for the things that you really want to correspond with people on or deal with companies on. So you can kind of know the difference between the junk side of the equation versus the real side, because they're going to have to find you again. It's going to take some time for them to find you on the junk mail list there.
Yeah, and the other thing that you can do with it is use it as a recovery account for things. Just as a backdoor to get into them if you do need it in the future.
As long as you've configured two-factor authentication.
Right.
Make sure it's still a secure account.
Okay. And one last thing. My wife has a Yahoo account. I mean, you're suggesting change hers as well, get out of Yahoo totally?
Well, my simple answer would be yes, but don't touch her account until you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Good suggestion. Thank you.
Go into it with all a plan for handling both accounts, okay? Yeah. That's where we're getting at.
I got you. All right. Thanks again. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been married long enough to know don't cause her any trouble until you know how to get out of it. All right, so we're going to step out for a quick break. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. How many lines we got open there, Dennis?
We have two lines open.
Sounds good. So we're going to take a quick break and get back to your calls. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Dennis.
And I'm Eric.
And we have two folks on the line. Next one up would be Gary from Weathersfield.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome aboard, Gary.
Yeah, hey, I have a hardware question. I decided it was like time to get a new computer, and I didn't want to spend the money, so I bought refurbished. And unfortunately, this is the second one I got that it was never had a Wi-Fi adapter installed in it. So all it give you is just like a little black stub that goes in the USB, you know, for your Wi-Fi, which it doesn't really work hardly at all. So I said, all right, so the second computer now, same problem. I said, let me just get a card. So I contacted a guy. He goes, get a AX10 card. And it looked pretty impressive, you know. It's got a heat sink on it, and it's got like a, you know, a power wire.
Wow!
And so I get it, and I'm like, where do I connect this power cable? Because there's no, you know, open spots, the power cable is a female. So yeah. He said look for USB 2.0, and it should look like this, like a bunch of prongs sticking up. There's nothing on the board, so I look further, and I read something about, like, since Dell, that they have like their own proprietary motherboard, and that the actual slot is 5-volt powered. So I might not even need that cord. But what do you? My other option I was thinking of, you know, just doing it like backyard mechanic type thing, is getting an adapter for that cord, running it out of the back of the computer, and then into one of the USB slots to power the Bluetooth, because this is both Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Yeah,
wow.
But that's kind of hokey, you know.
So, this is the coolest call since 1995.
I was going to say. This is about building a box.
you don't know the suffering I've been through. I decided, okay, I'm going to update. First, I started with update my modem through Cox. I look on the site. They say, okay, yeah, the Surfboard S33 is with a DOCIS or whatever, 3.1, fast and stuff. So I get the thing, you know, 3 weeks later. In the meantime, they take it off the list, so they won't hook me up. So to get rid of that thing, I was like, everything's like beat me down. You know, now I'm at the point where, you know, I just want to get Wi-Fi to the computer, and I'm thinking of all kinds of creative ways to get there.
Well, you shouldn't. I mean, it does talk about a 9-pin connector to the USB header. As far as powering it, so you should be able to just use PCIe X1 slot, which is on most motherboards.
Yes.
But you're right.
The short black one, there's two slots. There's like one long green one, and the card actually looks like it goes into a shorter slot.
So I wouldn't go by anything like that. I would bring up the motherboard documentation and double check which of the slots is PCIe X1. I have not built computers in quite some time to know which colors are specifically the colors. Dennis, maybe you know.
Actually, I don't. It's been a while for me, too, being inside those boxes.
Right.
I do recall back in the day when I was modifying Dell computers, where you could put these types of cards in, and they got all the power they needed right from the bus, which is the main interface. And you didn't really need the extra USB header interconnection. Even if the documentation told you that you need it, it's probably not necessary as long as you're putting it into the right motherboard slot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because they described the powered slot as a M.2 WLAN slot.
Yeah,
that
would be the one.
Okay,
so
okay. Yeah,
you might not need
figure out which one
cable.
It is. Is it the green one or the black one?
Right,
well,
so
that's
should
the
be
thing
easy
that,
to find.
What, you should be able to find that information in the manual for the motherboard.
Okay, so just look online, and well, I don't even know what the motherboard.
If it's a Dell
model is.
If it's a Dell desktop,
Optiflex,
go on their website for that particular computer, and there should be either a maintenance or service guide for it, and that should have that information in it for you.
Yeah, don't Google it, because some of those sites
do
that
not
have
Google
these
no.
PDFs.
Oh, God,
that
yeah,
go directly to Dell.com and go to their support site, put in the serial number for the computer, and get the direct documentation for that precise box.
Okay. That's a good idea. Yeah, yeah. I never even thought of that because, like you said, you can get really like detoured with some misinformation. You know, you think you're watching a video of the same motherboard and computer, and then you find out that it's something totally different, and you're like, oh, I just wasted my time.
And, yeah, they should have a support tag on that particular.
They do. Yeah. Right in the back, it's like I think it's like 7 digits or whatever.
Yep.
Always go to the manufacturer. The interwebs is definitely not a good place for information. Go to the manufacturer website.
Yeah, okay. Dell is really, really good about providing good service manuals for these computers. Mm-hmm. HP is another one that's good for that.
Yeah. All right. That's good to know. It's like let me tell you something really quick. Another thing too is the first Dell I bought, which had like the really bad Wi-Fi USB adapter. It was a Generation 5, and from what I found out is Windows. Now they're putting Windows 11 Pro on all these things, and the support drops off anything under.
Generation eight.
It's key to get generation 8 or newer, you know, if anybody's listening, because otherwise, you know, you may end up with unsupported security,
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, I'll go to the Dell site, look it up. I'm on my way home right now, so
all right.
Enjoy listening to you guys. You guys have been on for decades.
Yes, we have.
Yep.
3 decades. We appreciate you doing that, though, and this was a cool question. We appreciate
it. Yeah, this was fun. I love it.
All right, great. Thank you. I'm glad that you liked it. And all right. Hey, you guys have a good day.
You too.
And okay, we are going to be taking another break for a final news break. We will be back. We have two folks up, and that means two lines are open for you. So give us a call. 860-522-WTIC is the phone number, the one and only number.
And you, of course, you can go to our Facebook page over at Tab Computer Systems, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. And if you'd like to join, just ask. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in.
Yep.
And all the links are there. Mike's posting everything there. You can also follow us on X over at Tab Computer Sys, and links will go there as well. So no reason to Google these links. You can get the actual links. And now Googling anything these days is getting more and more useless. So we'll give you the right information directly.
All right.
We'll see you right after the news.
And welcome back to Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Dennis.
And I'm Eric.
And we have full lines. All
That's
four
about right.
lines are taken up. It's 10:30 and it happens. But let's see if we can't help somebody out here. Let's see. We have Joe in Berlin coming aboard.
Good morning. Okay, quick question. When I go to open a Microsoft Excel, a CSV extension in the file.
Yep.
The Microsoft Edge comes up.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I went to, where you associate the file extension with what is used to open it. And it is still listed as Excel.
Okay.
Edge comes up. And this only happened, okay, I was trying to keep this quick, but this only happened very recently. So when it first happened was last Friday. I went to open up my laptop, and it said updating Windows. Okay, so I waited, updated, and now the same thing's happening on my laptop.
Hmm.
And they're both Windows 11. Now, at my home office, I have still Windows 10, and it opens up the file without a problem.
What version of Office do you have installed on the computer?
Oh, good. I don't know. I would assume this is at the shop. I would assume it's, they did.
Well, here's the reason I'm asking. I wonder if there's a problem with how Excel is installed on the computer, and instead of trying to open a local application on the computer, it's opening up Excel or trying to open Excel online instead. So the first thing that I would do is look in a control panel and go to programs and features and look for whichever copy of Microsoft Office you've got installed on the computer. It doesn't matter which one, but just look at whichever one is listed there and click on it and then click uninstall change and then select the repair option and have it repair the installation of Office on the computer.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too.
And then very important extra step that you may not see online, reboot the computer after the repair is done. And don't try to do anything with the file until you've rebooted. Because you just want, you want all of the proper DLLs to be in place and to be loaded and for everything to execute properly. And the only way to be sure that's going to happen after you've repaired Office is to reboot.
Okay. This is, we are, yeah, I would have, not a problem. I will, now, only reason why I'm hesitating, because I'm not going to reboot the computer because too many other issues. I will have the IT guy there.
Okay. Well, so are you one of those users that doesn't reboot their machine for months?
No, again, this is not my machine. It belongs, you know, it's a shop. And when and if they reboot it, I have no idea.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Not my pay grade.
I hear you. Yeah, it sounds like Dennis is on the right track. I mean, there's some sort of repair that has to run with the Office, because otherwise it should work fine.
Yeah.
Now, is there going to be a link to this or something so I can...
We can put a link to the Office repair.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can post a link about repairing Office.
Greg wrote that. All right, thank you.
All right,
you're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye.
All right, and next up will be John from Hartford.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning. I've got an HP Envy laptop that I've had for a little over 4 years, and occasionally the screen goes dark for about 3 or 4 seconds and comes back on.
Uh-oh.
I'm kind of curious about what's happening and why it's doing that, and or is this just whispers of impending doom?
It's whispering. If your screen's doing that, it's not normal, right? So it could be a really weird power setting, but if it's doing it while you're using it, that would not be the case. So it does seem like it's an impending doom where your screen is going blank like that. Any thoughts that you have, Dennis?
Well, I'm wondering about the connection from the monitor to the motherboard that's inside the computer, and I wonder if that might be flaking out for some reason. And that's part of the laptop hinge, which is the single most vulnerable part in the computer. In its lifetime, and you do see things like that happen occasionally with them. The only other thing that I can think of is that there might be something going on with the video hardware inside. And the first solution that would occur to me would be to look for a video driver update for the computer. But that assumes that it's some kind of a software or operating system issue.
Well,
and I'm not sure that that's in play here.
You know, you're onto something. I'm looking at HP's site there, basically... They want you to do a Windows Control Shift B and perform a hard reset by holding the power button down, because they want you to drain all the static power, because that's going to give you a display refresh, And then Dennis is right on it. Common causes include corrupted graphics drivers. So getting those drivers up to date makes sense. A failed BIOS update or overheating. It could just be overheating and just powering off on you there.
That too.
So if you've had it for 4 years, if you know, if it's dusty in there, you may want to try blowing out, but be careful blowing air in there because it can also produce condensation, which then is not good for your computer when you power it up. But BIOS updates and driver updates also are something you should try. So a couple of things
so
are that force
of,
refresh.
It's out of the support window.
Right.
Yes.
So does that make it harder to get driver updates?
No,
not necessarily. Especially if maybe Microsoft did something with Windows that causes the video to operate differently. HP may have issued a new driver for the video to compensate for that.
And you should have a support assistant. You should have a support assistant on the laptop, HP support assistant, and you should take a look at updating the drivers right there. You probably are way behind.
Okay.
And so do that force refresh, the Windows plus Control plus Shift plus B. You have to get a lot of fingers involved. And that'll give you that refresh. And then do the BIOS updates and the graphics updates, and then check to see if you've got overheating, if you've got a lot of gunked up vents there. If all else fails after that, yes, the committee will approve your buying of a new laptop.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it.
All right. And let's see. Who do we have next? We have Austin from Virginia.
Oh, hey, Austin.
Hey, welcome aboard from Virginia.
Oh, yes. How you doing? I've been listening to you guys for a long time, years.
Very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. I had an old computer, of course. It was a Windows 10, and I had my TurboTax files on there. So I had to buy a new computer with Windows 11. So I downloaded the TurboTax program from their website, and so I copied and pasted. I had did a backup prior, so I copied and pasted all my TurboTax files into the TurboTax folder on my D drive. It worked. The only only problem is I did my taxes, everything is fine. But the only problem is I look at the on the OneDrive, the TurboTax folder and documents, it's X. It has a red circle with a white X in it. And there's no files in it. And like I said, everything works, but it's just annoying to see that. So shit. Would it be okay? I don't want, if I delete the files on the OneDrive, would that affect the files on the D drive?
It could if you've got them synced up.
Right.
Yeah.
And are we sure that red X has nothing to do with maybe a failed sync that's not happening?
Well, if I think back to my taxes, it said I got a message. A quick message that said the file was file was not named properly, and then it says so rename. So I just clicked and rename, and everything worked. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I click on it. There's nothing in there, but file name is question marks, and the status has the X.
And to me, it sounds like it just hasn't synced up there, and that's what you're seeing. On your new computer, have you reestablished your OneDrive connection?
It's there. Everything is there.
So everything is there for everything else?
Yeah, I got the other files there.
Oh, okay.
I got my Zoom, and some files there.
All right. One thing I was going to say is that if there was a file naming issue, that can definitely derail the sync. But there are ways to tell OneDrive to fix it. What it will do is it'll either reassociate the same OneDrive file with the files that are on the computer, or it will start treating the renamed file as a new file in OneDrive, and then it will resume syncing. Which I think is the way that you're going to want to go. Either way, we can post a link from Microsoft's support site that will direct you to OneDrive sync fixes. Depending okay. on the status of the icon that you're looking at on your computer for OneDrive.
Now, before you okay. even do any of those things, copy the data off your computer to like a thumb drive, because if you sync the wrong way,
you can
blow
lose
away
it.
Your local data.
Yeah.
And so take yeah, that okay. data and put it on a thumb drive so it's off the machine, so when you try to test this or fix this, because I don't think mm-hmm. you can just delete it off the OneDrive and have it go away. I think it's it does feel like a sync issue to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I'll do that. And so it's going to be, I was looking at the link. It's nameoftheshow.com, right?
Yep, nameoftheshow.com. I just checked this morning, yeah. and of course that DNS is broken. So the one person that says it in 10 years that's a caller is going to go to the website. But it is okay. computertalkwithtab.com that is definitely working.
Okay.
Like I said, copy that data on a thumb drive before you do any syncing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because right. you don't want to lose the two birds in the bush when you've got right. one in the hand. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Right.
All right.
No problem. I'll try that. And if it works, I'll let you know next week. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank
yeah.
you.
Please call.
Right. Right I think now. We got to step out for a break probably,
we
right?
do. We All do. Right. We do.
So we'll be right back.
And we are back. It's time to take a last couple calls of the day.
Sounds good.
We have MJ from New Haven coming on board. MJ, are you there?
I'm here, thank you. I have a Samsung tablet, which I bought based on a recommendation from you guys, actually, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Works fine, but I'm wondering, is it possible to send a text message from a tablet to a cell phone, either Apple or Android-based?
There is a way to do it, but it requires a couple of things to be in place first, okay? Number one, you need to be using Google Messages on your phone, okay? If you're using Samsung message app or your carrier's messaging app, this will not work, okay? But if you're using Google Messages on the phone, mm-hmm. then you can open Google Messages on the tablet and you sign into your Google account. Oh, the other thing is you got to be signed into your Google account in these apps, okay? But once you've done right. that, then you're going to be looking at the same body of texts on both. Now, whether or not it will actually send from the phone, if you create the text on the tablet, I also think has something to do with the operating system on the phone. You've got to have a recent version of Android for that.
Okay,
if you got a version older than a couple of years, it won't work.
Right. So obviously, any random person that I try to do that with, they have to have the same construct, right?
No,
so
this is only all of this has to be put together only on your side of the conversation. If that makes any sense, what you're doing is you're connecting your tablet to your Google Messages account, as it were.
Right, all your contacts.
And then the Google Messages account is going to send it out of the phone because the phone is connected to the same account. But all of that is taking place only on your side.
So I could theoretically, assuming all that's in place, I could theoretically text one of you guys if I wanted to.
You should
be
able
to. Phone, we would never give you our cell phone numbers, though.
No.
Why not? Well, can you give me your password?
There you go.
Yeah, it's ice cream.
Happily give you your password. Your password.
No,
so
it's
yeah,
not.
You're basically connecting through, you know, your Google account on your phone, if you have a Google account. So if you do, it does look like it works beautifully. It's pretty cool. Look at
I actually have that set up on my Android tablet and my phone, and I can look at my texts from my tablet.
Yep.
Cool. All right. I'm going to give that a try.
Yeah, you go.
Happens.
Yeah.
I'll give you Matt Sorois's cell phone. You can test it with him.
Yeah, if you could. Yeah, I'd like to get in, you know, directly into your computer and, you know, explore your boot sector.
There you go.
I'll show you a boot sector.
I worked at a company prior to retirement where somebody did a recursive delete on a Unix machine, starting from the root.
Oh,
it's like the snake eating its tail.
Yeah.
I don't know why he did that, but I don't think he lasted very long.
Well, you're not going to do
it. Yeah, and if he did it on purpose, it's a federal offense. So it's
he was not happy with his last raise or something like that.
Bad news.
Anyhow, thank you for your input, and I'll give it a try.
Sounds
all
good,
right.
MJ.
Excellent.
All right, we'll see you.
Yeah, see you.
And next up, we have Dave in Berlin. If we could bring Dave aboard.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hey there. Hey, listen, I'm having a problem with my year and a half old Windows 11 machine. Something has happened to Windows Explorer, and I no longer have the, I'll call it the column on the left-hand side of the screen. I can't see my C drive and all of the other, you know, drives underneath it. It's just showing me like where I've been and just a lot of junk. And are you aware of a way that I could reset that back to what it looks like in Windows 10?
Well, I have the same trouble with Outlook every now and again. It's most likely a view that you might have changed by accident. And yes, we can give you instructions on how to go under the view configuration of seeing your details the way you want to see them. How to put them back the way you had them is really something you'd have to deal with. But there is definitely layouts and view configurations that you can manipulate.
Yeah, we can post a link that shows you how to. It's called the navigation pane in Explorer, and we can show you how to turn it on and off.
Okay, fantastic.
We'll post a link to that.
Yeah, that'll be super.
It'll be on Facebook right away, and it will be in on our website later this afternoon.
It's almost like they didn't realize that you wanted just a classic view, the way it looked. It'd be nice to have that, the way it looked button versus customize everything.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You guys are great. Take care.
We appreciate it. Anybody else, Dennis?
We have no calls.
That's okay.
Whoa, we cleared the board after, what, five calls this half hour? Yeah. Very nice.
So I do have a quick story. Okay. The folks in Maine, they are opposing data centers. So they just passed a bill.
What?
Yep. They passed data center bill, a bill that actually going to oppose having them in Maine. And it's a moratorium. And it's going to give the government some better time to understand the impact of these facilities. Now, I had the earlier story where whole states are not even using generally accepted accounting principles to actually represent how much money they're losing with the tax abatements that they're giving away. Here in Maine, they're saying, we're going to wait and take a look at this stuff so we better understand the impact of these data centers. If these data centers really want to help out, right? My suggestion to them is that they offer to pay the town and/or county's school budgets to actually exist in those areas. And you'll have people signing up to have these data centers placed in their towns, because if they cover their entire school budgets, that's a value. And it's simple. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you got a $50 million budget, the data center you're going to stick in the town covers that, come on, that's a no-brainer. But that's not what happens. It's always some sort of convoluted backdoor deal that is then not even accounted for properly. But Maine is saying no. And I can even remember in Southington, we actually had a power plant that wanted to come into Southington early in the 90s. I mean, a power plant in Southington just doesn't sound right. And the people stood up and said, no, we're not going to have it. And it went away. But there's a lot of these folks that are fighting these things, and they're still having the data centers come in. And it's ridiculous where if the will of the people are saying no, and these officials go ahead and let them in anyways with these bad deals. So the deals need to be better, as far as I'm concerned, especially if they can make trillions of dollars, the deal should be better. So I want to thank Matt Sorois for producing. Thank you, Dennis, for running the show out there. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over on our Facebook and
Mike
Twitter
G
pages.
Is doing double duty today.
He's working hard, and we appreciate it. We appreciate all you guys, too, for calling in on a lovely Saturday morning, because without you guys, Dennis and I talk about my kids, and he talk about his cats, and that's just not good radio.
Nah, you don't want that.
So stick around for Morgan. He's got his show coming up, Spotlight Connecticut.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday.